What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Last night, I did a murder mystery.
Murder mystery dinner.
Murder. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This wasn't the bells and bells and bullets. What's the one?
Bells, bullets, and bourbon. Yeah.
No, this one was like 1920s Prohibition era themed one.
Nice.
Ooh, did you get to talk all old timey?
Oh, I played.
Well, say that, sport.
I played Duke Carrillo, the track owner from Jersey.
Nice.
But yeah, everyone had names like that. It was just like for murder. It just made me realize like how ill suited Michael probably was to run a game like that in the conference room during a work day.
It probably takes some more prep than just like running. And yeah. Pulling out the box.
You're like printing out character sheets. You have to like do stuff ahead of time. And
by now you found out that old Beatrix Bourbon was the killer.
Yeah. No, that is.
Yeah, there was an audio thing.
She was the one I most medium suspected.
What I want is a murder mystery themed around The Office. So then you are characters from The Office.
That could be really fun.
You know, it's not going to write itself.
Mm-hmm. We should start working on it.
I think we
got to
get cracking on that.
Okay.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and vintage HP computer collector, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin Janes, CFO.
And with us, as always, in the warehouse, our producer, Mr. Alex Ward.
Why, hello, everybody. I sit down, Holly.
I'll take it from here.
I am beautiful. They are beautiful. Oh, so he is beautiful.
There you go.
This big, fat pig is beautiful.
So glad I bought instead of wrenches.
I just didn't inflate it all the way. I'm so glad that I bought instead of
rented. War
part. Oh, it's getting too long. That's what she said.
He has a whole different suit to put on that sumo suit, too.
I know. That
suit is tailored to fit around the sumo suit.
That would cost way more.
Even then, he forgets the safety mittens. He must always wear the safety mittens.
I must have left them in my car.
Yeah. What are we talking about, Sean?
Every week, we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. Talk about a different topic every week, sometimes characters, sometimes specific episodes, sometimes entire seasons. And this week, we're going to break down season 5. But we're also going to talk about the new Office Ladies podcast, which just came out this past week. We're going to take a question from one of our listeners. We're going to talk about Halloween coming up next week, some costumes. We're going to do some trivia as well.
Trivia's
back. The return.
Yeah.
But we're going to start with some season 5, diving into season 5.
Yeah. I was thinking about this morning. When you guys fire up Netflix, you're looking through The Office, You hit that drop down menu. Mm-hmm. And you're like, where am I going to go?
Yeah.
I have the exact same thought process every single time. I'm like, oh, season one, not enough for me. Season two, I've seen it just too many times.
Yeah.
Like, and then season three, I go, I've also seen that too many times. Season four is a little short. And then you hit season five, and you're like,
just
this feels right.
Right.
This
right,
feels
right.
Like the season. Cause
not too hot, not too cold.
It's perfect. There's a lot of episodes. There's so much that happens. And then I go, six gets weird. Seven's only half Michael Scott, eight and nine, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But five.
10, 11, 12.
10, 11, 12.
In my dreams.
In my dreams. But yeah, no, five is the porridge at the right temperature. You know what I mean?
It aired in 2008 to 2009, from September 5th, 2008 to May 14th, 2009. 28 half-hour episodes.
It ushered in a new president.
That's right. 08, yeah, that's sure. True.
Obama is president. You are Black Stanley.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Just as an overview, some of the main story arcs for this season, we are introduced to Holly Flax at the end of season four. So season five opens with Michael and Holly getting to know each other, falling in love, and then that's cut pretty short. Then she goes off. She's sent off to Nashua by David Wallace. And then we see her again briefly at the end. Pam, this is a big season for Pam. Pam goes to art school. We learn that she's pregnant at the end of the season. A lot of development for Pam.
She leaves the company, comes back in the Michael Scott Paper Company.
Michael Scott Paper Company, yes.
Promotion.
She becomes a salesperson, mm-hmm. Yep. I just kind of had as one story arc, Charles Minor and the Michael Scott Paper Company. Mm-hmm. That's kind of hard to say now.
I'm
really used to saying Michael Scott.
Sounds like an Office tribute band. Charles Minor and the Michael Scott Paper Company. Yeah.
That'd be a good one.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They play police songs at weddings. Yeah.
A little preview of the Halloween costume discussion later.
Two love triangles in this season. Andy, Angela, and Dwight, which of course we'll have to dive into. And also Kelly, Daryl, and Ryan. Briefly.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Any other main story arcs that come to mind? I think that's everything.
Ryan, the big Ryan's ones. Plummeting from the top down to the bottom again. From the youngest VP in company history to working at a bowling alley. Yeah.
Yep.
I think the one that stands out for me, and this is one that isn't, you know, as maybe visible, but like really taking the time to dig into the season, the one thing that really stood out to me was Michael's arc throughout this season.
Yeah,
big
and
time.
And the amount of, I don't know, it's a... It's growth and struggle and winning and losing, like that whole, everything he goes through in this season.
Yeah. Well, just.
I was just learning to love.
That's a good one. I mean, yeah, compare him at the beginning of season five to the end.
Right.
You know, you know, we've talked about Michael Scott Paper Company and all that stuff before. But
we've talked a lot about season five already.
I think we have.
In the show.
But
Michael in Love, part one and two. Yeah. We've gotten a lot of this.
We talked about him and Holly before, yes. Mm. But, you know.
We talked about Cafe Disco, your favorite.
Yes, and we can talk about that again.
Yeah.
You know, that. The opening of season five, where he doesn't know what to do about his feelings for Holly. You know, he's kind of like one of the, like little kid, like doesn't know how to act. Jim kind of has to help him say the right things and do the right things. And then, of course, at the end of the season is Company Picnic, where we have that episode where Michael and Holly spend the whole time together joking around, doing that whole sketch.
Announcing
that Buffalo Branch is closing.
Mm-hmm. Some Dunder Mifflin there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he has that line at the very end where he says, you know, it's not perfect. She's with someone, then I'll be with someone, but eventually, you know, we'll wind up together. Just him saying that is so indicative of like how far he's come since the beginning of the season.
It reminds me a lot of, and I love finding these little sort of parallels or mirrors in the show. And in season two, when they're in the Booze Cruise episode and Jim is out there talking to Michael and he's expressing, you know, how he's struggling with the fact that Pam is engaged. And Michael says, BFD, engaged ain't married, right? And he says, never, ever give up, right? And then I think there's even a talking head later when Michael says, when two people find each other, what should keep them apart, right? Mm. And it's almost a flip where Michael is saying that about his own mm-hmm. like relationship or his own issue or the thing that he's waiting to get through.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's funny, too, because in the very first episode of the season in Weight Loss Part 1, or maybe it's in Weight Loss Part 2, but you see him struggling with just being near Holly as she's like dating like Oscar's yoga instructor.
Yeah.
And just seeing how he deals with that, jump right to the end when he has such a more mature feeling right. about him and Holly. And like when
except for when he bullies AJ.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not but saying yeah. mature for Michael is way below most people.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. Yes, he's come a long way.
Yeah, but he makes that sound, one of the many great yeah. Steve Carell sounds when they're talking about it. He's just like, kind of next to yeah. her talking yeah. about the guy she was dating. It's fantastic. You want to talk about weight loss a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
I think that's an interesting.
Sure.
It's one of the only episodes where you're getting like they're cutting in like the timestamps throughout yeah. the thing yeah. where they talk because it's happening. Yeah. It's an episode that happens
it's
over
like
a
24
whole summer
or something.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like this really long, like yeah. the facial hair comes and goes.
Yeah.
You see.
Goatee.
You see Dwight, that shot of Dwight right. when he yeah. finally grows his goatee after yeah. they shave it off. Mm-hmm. They get to kind of play with time in a way they've never mm-hmm. really had done before. Mm-hmm. And it's one of several mini arcs throughout this season. You yeah. have a two-part weight loss. You have a two-part stress relief. You
two-part
have
lecture circuit.
Two-part lecture circuit. You mm. got the Michael Scott paper company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a really fun season. It's so different from all the other ones.
And yeah.
I mean, every season's different, you know.
Well, I mean, let's...
Great
weight loss,
there.
I think the big thing that happens in weight loss is that Jim proposes to Pam, you know? And
yeah.
And, like, I kind of had to remember, too, that you get that tease at the end of season 4 mm-hmm. from Goodbye Toby, mm-hmm. where, you know, she thinks he's going to ask. He is going to ask. But then, of course, Andy blows the whole thing by asking Angela during the fireworks show. We get that payoff right at the start of the season.
I rewatched that episode, and I still was, like, moved during that scene. Like, I kind of smiled and teared up a bit.
At the gas station.
At the proposal,
the
yeah. Like, it hasn't lost its shine for me. It's just, like, it's so well done. It's such a good moment. And was the most expensive shot.
Yeah,
I was just going to say, have we already talked about that they built a gas station yeah. for that? Yeah.
That was the number one expensive
yeah,
shot.
Yeah,
in the whole show.
Big rainstorm. I'm mm-hmm. sure all that was brought in. Yeah.
I think the other piece of that is by having Jim and Pam get engaged so early in the season, it kind of clears some of their relationship drama off the table mm-hmm. or it sets things up to.
Yeah. It's like, we're yeah. not going to talk about that this
yeah.
season.
Right. And they do and they have to, right? Like there's that episode in the Crime Aid episode when yeah. Jim talks to Roy and Roy kind of convinces him that he should go up and visit Pam.
Sure.
You know? And he turns off at the end. And he says, I'm not that guy. We're not that couple.
Yeah.
Right?
They keep playing phone tag and they just like aren't
right.
ever catching each other at the right time and feeling lonely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They can still acknowledge that relationship and find interesting things to do with it plot-wise
yeah.
and mm-hmm. while having that sort of big milestone sort of happen early on.
The guy from Mad Men moves in on her.
Oh. That's right.
Oh, yeah. I never yeah. realized that was the guy
he
from Mad Men.
He is in Mad Men.
Harry,
he smokes
right?
a pipe in Mad Men.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the TV guy. Yeah.
Do you like that guy in this in the office or not? Do you think he's...
I think his character's name is Alex.
Yeah. It's Dude. Alex. It's
yeah.
Pam.
Yeah.
yeah.
I have no opinion on this guy.
yeah, he's whatever.
Did you ever feel threatened by him?
You seem to.
no, just
Is
like
there
this.
Something you want to say?
I'm genuinely wondering because.
Nah.
I think you're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed
yeah.
to worry that.
I don't think he's a romantic interest. I think he's just like a.
Yeah.
Wants to keep Pam in New York.
Yeah.
Like he's just keeping Pam away from Jim. Not that he's going to date Pam. It's
yeah.
just like,
I also think it serves the plot less if it's just one more person that's interested in Pam. There's been too many of that.
Yeah.
Well,
Ryan and, you know, like, there's just, yeah.
You know, that part where he goes to her office and she's like, hey, it's Alex. And he pulls her out and you're like, oh, no, he's going to tell her that he likes her. And then it's revealed, like, he's just like, no, I just think, like, you should not leave New York. You shouldn't. Go back to Scranton. You should stay in New York.
Not a great sales pitch because she's like, well, Jim's in Scranton. He's like, I know, but you should stay in New York. Like, come on, dude. Like,
yeah.
You don't even care.
Yeah. Well, I think that it's just like, maybe it's that in that moment, that's kind of like the showrunners telling us, hey, like, don't worry about Jim and Pam romantically anymore. What we have to worry about now is
Michael romantically.
That, or no, that they're growing up, that they need to still continue to grow, you know, and it's not that another person's going to come between Jim and Pam. It's their own hopes and dreams, which is maybe even more difficult. Yeah.
It leads into Athlete. Or Stumpany, is what I would call it.
Yeah. Anything else on, like, Jim and Pam this season? Or I guess we talk about season? Art school. And
I mean, I didn't even
There's
really...
a lot to talk about this
season.
Yeah,
it's not even really Jim and Pam. I don't... I mean, can you think of anything for Jim, really, this season? He doesn't do too much this season.
Well, he's kind of a free agent this season because Pam's in art school for so long, and then she leaves for Michael Scott.
He has his difficulties with Charles Minor, but that's about it.
I think Jim plays the same role that he always does, which is just kind of this sort of cooler presence, this very flippant presence in the office. You know,
he's kind of a rock.
But also like kind of antagonizing Dwight and Andy at certain times. You know, but yeah, and he does get to play that same role as the show progresses, even if he's not. You know, doing it to impress Pam, per se, right? Mm-hmm. He's doing it because it's kind of what he likes to do in the office. And then when Charles Minor comes in, I do think that's an important development where it flips a little bit and Jim has to kind of take things more seriously. I wonder if that's kind of...
It's the first time we ever see him in that... put in that situation where he's not...
Someone just doesn't like Jim right away.
And, like, even when he's trying, he can't get it right, you know? Yeah. Yeah. He comes up with the rundown, and he's like, send it... And Charles says, send it to the distribution list. And he says, I'll just send it to the distribution list that I have. And then later he's like, I am faxing this to my dad. Like, he doesn't have the disc list to send it out to.
Yeah.
But I do think that, you know, we talked about this, I think, as recently as last episode, but, like, Jim in the tuxedo... Mm-hmm. is a big flip in the way that we perceive Jim and the way that maybe other people in Dunder Mifflin perceive Jim.
Yeah.
And then after that, he kind of comes back into form. He's still in David Wallace's good graces. But I wonder, right, just theoretically, if getting kind of called out by Charles Minor isn't something of a motivator for him to try to become a manager later on. Because, you know, Charles is like, why should you work harder than you should? And he's like, I don't know. Like, he can't get out of these situations, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And at the company picnic episode, when Charles comes up and he's like, hey, Jim, taking a rest from all your rest, huh?
Yeah. God, he's such a dick.
And Jim is like, I don't know what to do. And Pam says, do you want me to beat him up for you? And Jim says, no, you should just do it. I shouldn't have to tell you.
Ask. Yeah.
That's what I see from Jim in this season.
Just, yeah, you're right. Yeah. He does go from being, through four seasons, the center of the love storyline to he becomes on the sidelines of all these other ones, and he helps kind of push and prod, you know, especially Andy and Dwight and Angela, and also Kelly and Daryl. And
Ryan. Yeah, it tests him a little bit and shows him that you know, maybe there is some benefit to caring a little bit, and that, you know, you're smart enough to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. I think to some extent this season to me stands out as more fun. Just because there's a lot more characters involved. The storylines are really different, I think, from earlier seasons. The Jim and Pam drama maybe isn't center stage, right?
Yeah.
And Jim takes something of a step back, maybe not a huge step back, but he becomes a little bit more of the ensemble, and the ensemble grows quite a bit.
Yeah.
We see more from Andy this season. We see more from Kelly and Ryan and Daryl this season, right? Just in general. And I think it almost helps to have Jim less prominently involved in whatever the plot is of the show and more like able to kind of mess with whoever is... You know.
He's there to lend the helping hand when in broke, when the Michael Scott Paper Company is broke. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just he's kind of in a position to just like be the one to help them come back upstairs.
He's a mercenary all season.
Yeah. To silence Dwight a little bit and clear the space for them to come in.
I think you look at like the first four seasons, and especially season four, you could look at in the lifespan of the show. There's a lot of growing pains in season four. It's a shorter season. They had to get creative with, you know, during the writer's strike and all that stuff. But you come out of it introducing a new love interest for Michael, and then by the end of season five, you have... the whole theme is just growth. Like, they've grown up by season five. And it's like, okay, we're done with some of the silly stuff from the past, and now at the end of it, it's like, now you're going to have a baby. And Michael has matured where he's like optimistic and looking at love with a level-headed manner.
Right.
Like, you know, Andy took a shot and missed.
Well, that's another thing that I'd like to talk about. Certainly the love triangle between Angela, Andy, and Dwight. You know, this obviously at the end of season four, Andy's proposed to Angela. Mm-hmm. And right at the top of this season, we find out that she and Dwight are still sleeping together. Because anytime Andy is annoying to her, she dials a special number on her phone, which is
very clandestine. Yeah.
Gets Dwight's beeper, and they find go down out to the warehouse to.
It's the last thing in season four. It's the last thing in frame or Goodbye Toby that Phyllis walks in on them. So she has that knowledge, and so she's the head of the party planning committee.
But you know, of course, that all comes to there's there's the part where they're touring Shroot Farms, and Dwight gets them, has them actually get married because he's got an actual German minister.
They'll raise the only minutes from here. He speaks only German.
What is it? Mennonite?
It's like Mennonite, minutes from here. Who is that guy?
But of course,
there's a moment too when Dwight is helping Pam put together the copier, and he's like, "Would you like me to translate the German instructions for you?"
Oh yeah.
He says, "Like it's either an incense holder or a ceremonial sarcophagus." My German is mostly pre-industrial and mostly religious.
That shot where Pam's crouching, looking at, and then you just see Dwight's legs.
Yeah,
it's just so good. It's
could only be Dwight.
Yeah, the way he
the
crouches
big black
down.
Shoes. And the,
that's Dwight for sure.
Pants are a little too long. Yeah.
But of course, Michael spills the beans to Andy as he's leaving.
It happens in Moroccan Christmas first.
Right. Right.
So Phyllis is really pressing Angela to do to put together this really alternative Christmas party, right? She puts the nativity scene in the drawer, right? Mm-hmm. And she asks Angela to put on the hairnet when she's cutting up pita triangles,
she's fans. She's flexing hard.
She's like, what does she say? Her little grape head is under my foot or something.
Is that also when Michael's like giving her crap about pumping balloons? No,
that's later.
No, sorry.
Michael is saying this is one of the best Christmas parties we've ever had. Mm-hmm. There's a really funny moment where they're eating these cookies or something, and Phyllis is like, they eat these during Ramadan, and Angela spits hers out into a napkin.
That's great.
Phyllis asks Angela to bring the tree in, and she says it's outside, and Phyllis says, "I didn't ask you where it was. I told you where it needed to go."
Right? Oh, yeah.
And Angela says, "Stop it." He's like, "You have to stop treating me this way because you have this one little thing on me that I know you're never going to say because you can't plan these tacky parties anymore." And Phyllis gives a great pump fake where she looks down and starts to walk away, and she goes, "Okay." And she goes, "Angela's sleeping with Dwight."
Yeah.
And I caught them during Toby's goodbye party or something. Yeah. Everyone in the room hears it except for Andy, who was playing the sitar in the back.
Man.
And then, of course, Michael later is like to Andy, like, "You still don't know?" Jim has to shove him into the his office. And finally he tells him in the parking lot as he's behind a closed window as he's driving away.
I love Andy in this season so much. I think he's used so well just because he's obviously involved in some plot lines, but most of the time he's on the outside just being strange, and singing. I love he's playing the sitar, and Jim comes up and he says, "Do you take requests? Please stop." And then they're all sitting. Andy comes in and they're all like, "This moment has just happened." And Andy's like, "Hey, I want to show you this. Deck the halls with boughs of holly." And he's, "Tough room." Usually a little applause. Usually a little applause is standard. And then Angela's like, "I would like to go home now."
He's so clueless. It's amazing.
And it's like all the while he's just like, "Your wish is my command, lady." Trying to just figure out anything for their
fiancé.
Fiancé.
Bon voyage.
Flower,
bon petit
for my flower.
Fiancé.
Yeah. Ed Helms is awesome this whole season.
So good.
Because, he definitely steps up into a bigger role, too. And we've been circling around doing an Andy episode for a while.
At some point.
We got a message from someone saying, Nardog was their favorite. Not a lot of people say Andy.
I've heard that for some
time. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, then, we should.
Yeah, we'll do an Andy. We got some character episodes coming. I think at some point, too, we're going to have to do a Dwight part, too. That became clear going through season five. It's like, dude, he's so many dimensions.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah, okay.
We'll do it. Absolutely.
So, What, you know, bon voyage, mon petit. That is a great way, I think, to lead into the business trip episode, which I think is very important in the Angela, Andy, Dwight dynamic. So they fly, you know, they fly to Winnipeg, and Andy is Michael's translator, and Oscar is Michael's numbers guy.
Yeah.
Right? And they go out for the night on the town, and then Oscar asks Andy point blank after they've been drinking, like, what do you, how can anyone stand that woman? He's like, I've sat behind Angela, or next to Angela for years, you know.
Yeah.
And Andy says something to the effect of, you know, I see a heart center and way deep down is a little bit of jelly.
Jelly in the middle.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he calls her.
Yeah.
And there's that great moment from Oscar. He's like, oh my God, I need to call her. Yeah. Call her. Like, that little, like that little emotional. Shot, yeah. Yeah. Oh, so good. After Andy's trying to hook him up. You know?
Yeah.
We've never seen Oscar
Andy
like that
goes
for four seasons.
Hard. Andy goes so hard
how do you
as
even,
a wingman.
How do you even know they're gay? Are you kidding me? It's Dandy Dale and Fabi McGee over there.
That
you guys like apples? These apples.
Yeah, man.
On a scale from 1 to 10, how hot is that dude over there?
Just Oscar at the table by himself waving. Yeah. Leave us alone, man.
One of the most endearing moments for Andy, too, is at the end of that episode.
Yes.
He's like, I had to go to Winnipeg to get to know a guy I work 15 feet.
Yeah.
And he's delightful.
The way to... So good. Andy flips when Oscar is like, so, yeah, have you heard from Angela since you called her?
Yeah.
He goes, that was real?
Yeah, he's...
I thought I dreamed that.
The exact same face he makes when he realizes he's dating a high schooler.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's Angela put us back to second base. What's second base with Angela? I got to kiss her forehead.
Oh, my God.
But then we hear Dwight in the background of that phone call, too.
Who is it, monkey?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Somebody there?
Another big part in that... episode. I'm glad you're about a business trip because I feel like that one does get
lost.
It's
one of my favorite episodes.
It's great. Yeah. It does get lost in the shuffle a little bit. It's an episode where you get to see the characters in the office like doing normal things outside of the office, like going on a plane, going to a hotel, all that sort of stuff.
Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, Oscar? Could you have brought something stinkier? But that we see the first time Michael like kind of stand up to David Wallace in that episode where he calls him back and David Wallace is like, oh, was the hotel not? Like, up to your standard.
Sorry to hear
And he just
that.
Goes right in to be like, why'd you do that? You know, you sent her away.
Yeah.
I think that's a big point of sort of Michael's growth throughout this season.
For whatever reason, I had never really thought about the concierge Marie thing in context of his arc with Holly.
Yeah.
Like, I had never really thought about how it's not that long after they broke up that he has sex with the concierge.
Do you
Marie.
Think they have?
Yes.
I don't think they
implied.
He comes out with his shirt. He's putting his shirt back on.
Yeah.
He's putting his shirt. I didn't think he was putting his shirt back.
It's unbuttoned.
I thought she like they got the hotel and she was like, "What am I doing?" And like changed her mind and like kicked him out because the way he's like,
I thought it was even what to me is even worse is that they had sex and then. She's like, okay, that's it. Goodbye.
I'm really tired. Yeah.
And then he's like, what?
And he wanted to snuggle. Probably.
Right. Well, then it's like, what he wants is to be with Holly, to be with somebody who loves him. And then now he's just kind of like, and then, you know, he's trying to move on, but it was just like a cheap, you know, what, like,
right.
Zipless
but
sex.
Michael knew it was a concierge. I mean, they have those?
Well, he does. It's not really clear what he thinks a concierge is.
So, you know, I've been talking about Michael's arc in this season, and that, like, this is a big episode that stood out in that process, right? And I think as, like, you look at the way that leads into the Michael Scott Paper Company where Michael feels like he's actually got the energy and the emotion to quit, right? I think it begins at the beginning of the season with the way that David Wallace comes in and affects his relationship with Holly, and then all these other things, I'm kind of jumping the gun, but where he makes Michael do the Prince Family Paper thing, and Michael's uncomfortable with that, right? All these different things where he gets all this strange sort of conflicting feedback from David Wallace, whether he's doing a good job or a bad job. He invites him to New York to ask him what he's doing, right? He gets really mad at the golden ticket idea, right? But in this business trip episode, right, going exactly into what you were talking about with Michael and Holly, there's this talking head where Michael says, everyone's going to end up dying someday, and I think it's better to die with some people that you like Oscar and Andy and Concierge Marie, than to know that there's somebody out there that you love that you're not with, you know? Which is a pretty sad quote, right?
Right.
But it shows where he's at that moment. And then, you know, I know you talked about the call with David Wallace, but when he's in the business meeting with the actual person and the other business person is like, you know, this other company is cutting their prices. Michael says, look, people can continue to come back to us time and time again because they feel cared for here, they feel respected, and they feel that their needs matter. They are treated like human beings. And then he takes this pause where he can't speak anymore. And the other guy says, is everything okay? And then it cuts away from that, right? Mm. And the next thing we see is David Wallace being like, hey, you closed the sale. You're a titan of industry, my friend. You know, yeah. So even though Michael is succeeding, he's clearly going through so much. Yeah.
Well, you can see why, too. It sheds a little light on, like, well, why hasn't they fired this guy yet? Like, how could you keep Michael Scott around for so long, like, as a responsible CFO? But,
well, like,
he's a useful corporate puppet in a lot of circumstances.
Why have I stayed at Dunder Mifflin so long? Certainly not the salary, because I could have made more as a doctor, a professional athlete.
Yeah. I mean, it is kind of funny how, like, for so long, Michael is this, what is it? He can almost be a threat to his own branch. Mm-hmm. And yet, I think at this point, maybe David Wallace has figured out what Michael is good at and is manipulating him to be even more beneficial to the company. Mm-hmm. And he goes too far.
Yeah.
I think. He pushes Michael too far. Or maybe if he had just left Holly in Scranton, he could have continued to have Michael do whatever he wanted.
Why did he make Holly leave?
I mean, we've mentioned this before, but like, it's pretty big conflict of interest to have the manager and the HR person literally in bed together, you know?
I mean,
and it is Michael.
Yeah, I guess you're right. If it was anything but HR, would it have been? Well, it probably wouldn't have been as
well.
Big
and
deal.
You know what else? You remember during the business ethics episode where I think it's Kendall from corporate is like, I thought we talked about this, Holly. This wasn't going to be an issue, right? It sounds like Holly herself doesn't have an amazing relationship with corporate HR, maybe as well. I'm reading into that.
I don't know how good Holly is at her job, really. I mean, there's that. Yeah, the business ethics seminar, like, we see that she does care a lot about the Outback Steakhouse thing, but she also PDAs with Michael a lot in the office. I don't know how often her judgment is so great. Did you guys notice that we see Kendall in this season?
Yeah. We see him disciplining Dwight in the stress relief episode.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's up there with David Wallace.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. And then at the
end. I thought
end,
that was so smart. Cause
in the company picnic episode,
he's in
he talks
the company
to Toby.
Picnic. Yeah, he's talking
that
to
thing him. With Bernie and Ephraim, really funny.
Yeah.
Really, really funny. Yeah.
pregnant. Pause.
Yeah, that's good. Do you want to continue talking about Michael, or should we move to one of these other arcs just for the sake of covering all the ground?
I think let's move on.
Yeah, I wanted to say just like how much I thought Dwight grows in this season as well. Mm-hmm. After the duel, after they realize that they've both been, that Angela's been saying that she's not sleeping with the other person,
right.
But she is. I mean, Dwight's growth after that, he's now needs to move on.
Once Dwight and Angela's relationship sort of ends abruptly with the duel, I think what we see from this season in Dwight is Dwight also sort of fade back into the ensemble, but become a lot more dangerous is the wrong word, but he becomes a lot more impactful and a lot less it's easy to ignore, or he's kind of silly. Like, who's this ridiculous guy talking about bears and stuff? Like Andy says, he's like, protector from what? Bears, you idiot? When was the last time you saw a bear in Scranton?
Yeah.
Right? And Dwight says, last year, idiot. But anyway, you think about when Dwight gets his revenge on the Michael Scott Paper Company, and he goes, you have unleashed the wolf, right? Mm-hmm. There are just a lot more moments where, and then when he has the fire, the scare, right? Mm-hmm. Think about the growth that Dwight sort of shows from season two, where he's, you know, have you ever seen a burn victim, right?
Yeah.
In the season two episode, The Fire. And in season six, he says, have you ever seen a burn victim? Where are our exit points? Who knows where we need to go, right?
Yeah, right.
He's like, what is the procedure? And Michael goes, stay fucking calm. But Dwight, in general, becomes just more, you have to respect him more. He's more imposing. Maybe that's the word.
Yeah.
He imposes himself more, and he has to be taken more seriously.
Mm-hmm. It's not that Dwight hasn't always believed in himself, but there's something about him losing Angela and realizing that, you know, that he's really, like, he thought she loved him, but she's clearly just being, you know, stringing him along. And
It's what's worse than him believing in himself is him believing in nothing.
Yeah, right. Just,
which is what we see when Angela's gone.
I think too, the fact that Charles shows a lot of interest in Dwight and shows gives him positive reinforcement. Like that's, I think, an important development as well.
Right.
That Dwight actually gets someone, you know, as invested as he is in Michael. He's trying to explain to Michael on the phone in the heavy competition episode. Mm-hmm. He's like, there was a one guy, what man that I looked up to, you looked up to so much, but then this new guy, very Will Smith esque, comes into the picture, right? And Michael can't get it through his head that he's talking about them, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He goes, this is a new guy, Charles. Is it Stanley?
A little thing about me, mm-hmm. I respond well to strong leadership.
Right. He says that in season 7.
Yeah.
With D'Angelo.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
We also just see Dwight like a little more, I don't know if the word is playful, but like I'm thinking of so at the beginning of the company picnic episode, right? The cold open is Michael is asleep at his desk and they're going to move the clock forward so they can all go home early. Right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Dwight comes in and he says, what do you need from me? And then it cuts to a talking head where he says, normally I don't condone leaving early, but I have an appointment with the horse doctor. How that horse became a doctor, I don't know. And then he laughs to himself. And he goes, no, it's just the regular doctor that shoots your horse in the head when its leg is hurt. But that's a joke that like season 3 Dwight wouldn't make, right?
Season 2
Dwight wouldn't make.
Yeah.
Or the prank that he plays on Jim with Aaron winning the art contest. Same mm-hmm. sort of thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Dwight coming into his own a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of art, did we talk about Pam enough? Do you feel like we covered that? I think we can talk about Pam a little more.
We did like an hour and a half episode on Pam.
We did,
not too long ago. But
I just think overall in this season what we see is Pam outgrowing reception in particular, right? Mm-hmm. We see it in art school, and I actually wonder if Pam shouldn't have stayed at art school, you know? 12 weeks, you know, where she's failing art school.
Right.
And she's like, can you do another 12 weeks? And Jim says, you know, can you do another 12, Jim says, you know, you come back the right way. Like, I don't know. I mean, obviously it works out for the show and it works out for their relationship. And we don't know how invested Pam really was in becoming a graphic designer. She says she didn't like graphic design, but
it's
like
just making
in the scheme of the rest
stuff.
Of your life, you know, like, it's more time, more money, I guess, but
yeah.
But I don't know. But I didn't mean to get lost there. But we see Pam, even as we think about the fact that Aaron comes in as receptionist later, Pam seems as a character overqualified to be in the receptionist place. You know, mm-hmm. She just becomes more and more competent, and we see it in the Michael Scott paper company arc at the beginning when she puts together the copier and she feels so underwhelmed by the fact that she can do anything with this copier,
right?
And she has to struggle in the Michael Scott paper company arc about, you know, what her role is. She begs Charles for her old job back, right? And
mm-hmm.
she talks about how she applied at Old Navy and what, like,
yeah,
Target
right.
or whatever,
yeah,
and they
yeah.
didn't call her back. And, you know, she has to fight back as a salesperson, but we just see Pam grow and kind of, I don't know, outgrow the life that she had.
You know, that's a good point, and it happens a few times, I think, in season 5. We see characters sparked to sort of change internally, and the inciting event's often a very menial, small thing. Like you just said, like Pam having to fix the copier and that just leaving it like mm-hmm. Or like Michael going on a business trip to Winnipeg in a nondescript hotel,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that whole experience like makes him just realize what his life's missing completely. It's just all these small office related things that like are pushing people to the next level, which is that's the whole theme of season 5. Like,
right.
Is these characters putting to rest sort of who they were and trying to go after what they want.
I'm trying to think too about like just what it means that like she dreams of being an artist.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes to art school, but she gives up on that because she just feels alone and maybe that she's not good enough, or she just finds the whole thing frustrating, and so she quits.
Mm-hmm.
And then she decides that her dream is to be a salesperson, which is just what the people around her do. You know, maybe that she's saying, well, maybe, you know, art school was too big of a dream, but I can at least do what these people around me do. I'm at least as good as they are.
And then,
so
oh, yeah.
to show herself that she's as good as they are, she becomes a salesperson. Then she's not very good at sales, but she is smart enough to make it her own
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
become the office administrator.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what all that means.
There's a talking head where Michael pulls Jim. He's trying to figure out who's going to get the job between the episode is Casual Friday, between Pam and Ryan, who's going to get the sales job because there aren't enough clients to justify keeping them both on as salesmen. And he takes Jim outside and he asks him for his help. And, you know, he's like, I don't know what to do here. he's like, what do you think is best? And Jim says, make a pro and cons list. And he's talking to Pam about, you know, Ryan, pro. He's my number one choice. He's everything I am and everything I'm not. Or whatever, or whatever he says about Ryan, you know.
Yeah.
But then when he gets to Pam, he's like, cons, you know, she doesn't really follow through. Art school, Roy. But he kind of mentions this notion that Pam has, that maybe she doesn't follow through, right?
Yeah.
And Pam herself kind of reconciles with this in season 7, where she's like, I failed at art school, I failed at sales, what if I fail at this too, you know? Mm-hmm. I think where a character like Jim, his path is marked with so much more success, you know, the transfer, the promotion, the co-manager thing, mm-hmm. right? Pam's is really marked more by failure and struggle. Like, it's much more of a challenge for her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think just to kind of move us to wrap up season 5 here, because I think this moves into a scene or a moment that I think it's kind of funny that it's basically exactly almost halfway of the entire show, which is stress relief. That two part when they do the roast,
yeah,
that I feel like that's like the peak,
it's
peak
so
of the whole show for
it's
me
so
because
good.
It's like all the jokes are earned. The camaraderie between the cast is palpable there.
Mm-hmm.
They're having so much fun. It's Michael is finally
Michael
able to accept that people can make fun of him and he's okay with it. Like, he's never been able to do that. And
yeah.
He finally gets over that giant hump and he comes back and roasts everyone.
That's
and he has the best response.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just this perfect moment, like right in the middle of the whole
That's
show.
That's another, you know, I hadn't really thought about that moment in terms of his growth, but that's a big one too. That's a big lesson that Michael learns in that
fun
one.
Fun fact about stress relief too, that one I was looking at that, the Nielsen ratings,
mm-hmm.
that one, so Prince, Fame, the Paper, the Duel, those are like 8.5,
yeah,
you know, like 8.5 million, and then 22 almost 23 million on that one because it was right after the,
yeah, right after the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
I remember
yeah.
watching that right after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And it was advertised as having Jack Black and Jessica Alba as
guest star appearance. Like, when I read that on Wikipedia, like that Jack Black was in that episode, I was like, what? When? Where? And then it's like, they're in that mm-hmm. movie that they're watching, which mm-hmm. is such a bizarre.
I think this episode is one of the strongest in the whole show.
Yeah,
I think
it really is.
There are a ton of components to it. I think the fire is probably the best cold open in the show.
Yeah.
Granted, it's like, it's way longer and given way more time
yeah.
to develop.
Well, they knew, they're like, this is right after the Super Bowl. We got to hit them.
And then, you know, there's the fire happens. There's the punishment with Dwight. There's the CPR scene,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
There's the whole thing with, there's a compilation of Stanley yelling in the middle of this episode.
Oh, it's so good.
Did I stutter? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's, I love, you know, the CPR scene. I guess I already mentioned that. But the Mrs. Albert Hannaday thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where Andy, where Jim and Pam are going over what's going on between Pam's parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's another moment
we didn't even
where,
talk about that.
Yeah, where Jim and Pam get to have some play in the show about their relationship, which isn't necessarily their drama. It's Pam's parents' drama, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or it's a small conflict that gets resolved by the end of the episode.
Yeah,
that's harsh, dude. Like,
yeah.
Pam going through that,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and that Chuck and Henry, it's like really callous, but Jim's like, it's 50%. Marriages end in divorce. He's like, it's mine or hers. It's like,
thanks,
oh, God.
Jim.
And you see him look down in the way where he's like,
I shouldn't have said that.
Shouldn't have made that one.
Yeah.
But there's a whole thing where Andy's watching the movie and he's trying to figure out what they mean because they're talking about that relationship. There's a moment that I had written down where Jim says, yeah, I talked to him about over breakfast. And Andy's like, breakfast? Do you mean when they were eating soup? They're watching them on the laptop. Do you mean when they were eating soup? I don't think that was breakfast unless... Does soup symbolize breakfast?
So good.
And then at the end, Pam, you know, says that thing about Jim where, like, you know, her dad just simply didn't have that sort of spark for her mom anymore. Like, there was, you know, they had, Pam says, I guess relationships just look different to the people inside them.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy's in the background, and he goes, come on. Like,
yeah, yeah, he's just like.
It's good. Oh, really quick, we have a voicemail
on this topic, right?
Let's hear it.
Please leave a message for Andy Bernard.
Hi, my name is Christina. I am calling from Ceres, California, and about Dwight Schrute. He's probably the best character because there's this one scene wherever he actually stands up to Michael, even though he's really extremely loyal, and he starts sucking smack about him after Michael calls him an idiot. He says, well, you tiny little pathetic man, you have no family, you have no money, you have no friends, and you don't have any land. That's my voicemail for Dwight Schrute for your podcast. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Christina.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I think we just wanted to play that because, like, it just pointing out that moment in the show.
So good,
and
yeah.
This is such a huge part of season 5.
Do you guys prefer the roast of Michael Scott or Michael Scott roasting everybody else?
Oh, they're both good, but you have to go with Michael Scott roasting everyone because it's so quick.
I was going to say, like everybody else. I had a note that Boom Roasted is like on the level of That's What She Said for like lines that come from this show that like when I hear other people say Boom Roasted in real life, you love The Office. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
I just love the one where the other characters do it because they all take their own spins on
it.
Like Angela goes up first because she's like so not ready to do this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Oscar, you know, he's like, I normally consider myself a kind person. I'm going to try to make him cry. Like they all go in so hard
Oscar
on
Oscar in Spanish.
Yeah, yeah. Para ti. But I do, of course, love when Michael comes in, they go, why are you wearing a turtleneck?
Throws the full loaf slices of bread to the prince.
Yeah. The thing about the astronaut with the power.
I was just going to say one of my favorite lines from this season is.
That was almost the drop at the top of at the show.
There's a man on the moon who has a powerful telescope. You can see my face.
There's a really. The deleted scenes.
No, I'm not.
There are great deleted scenes for this episode. If you haven't seen it, have you guys seen the thing with Michael and the defibrillator?
Mm-mm.
Where Michael gets a defibrillator in the office?
Oh, God.
And he's like, he is charging up and he's trying to like use it to shake people. So he's going to like put it in someone's chair.
Yes, I have seen this.
And then like he's trying to like put it in his hand and tries to shake Toby's hand. And he's like, put it there. And then nothing happens.
Yeah.
And he's laughing to tears and he's like, you've been defibrillated. He's like, that's my catchphrase. But there are roasts that didn't make it into the episode.
Oh.
For example, I think, I'm not going to remember all of them, but Kelly was talking about how she found Michael's hair dye in the garbage can.
Oh, gosh.
And it's like midnight black. And she's like, come on, Michael. We all know you should have gray hairs by now. And they get Jan on the phone. And they have Jan like yell about Michael in the...
Really?
Really?
She says, everything you touch turns to crap.
Oh, my God.
She says, you wrote a phone message for me on my diploma. And then when she leaves, Michael goes, there is more plastic in that woman's chest than in most people.
That's a good one.
That's his comeback.
Yeah, that's good.
But
he's got the little drum set.
Yeah.
It's the perfect encapsulation of season 5 right there.
I have a hot take for you on season 5, and then we'll probably need to start moving on.
Let's move on, yeah.
I have so much more to say about this
season. I know, I do
but
too.
I know we can't get there.
Maybe we can do another... Maybe we can do another
just
one
as we
someday.
Did Lecture Circuit Part 2, Stress Relief Part 2,
there you go.
Maybe we can come back to it.
I'm curious. What else? What are the big ones?
Well, I was going to say that characters growing. We all agree. I actually thought it was really interesting that we all came today saying that there's a lot of character growth in season 5.
That is the theme of season five.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that we all caught that. But what I was going to say was characters growing means the show is ending, is my hot take.
Oh.
Like Edwin just rolled his eyes at me.
Go ahead.
But I like watching them grow. I like watching them struggle, right? but there's so much growth in this season that I think that's why it kind of wraps up with Cafe Disco and Company Picnic. Which are two episodes of like the office working together or all getting along and stuff like that. And I think that maybe part of the reason why I don't like those episodes.
You don't like Company Picnic either?
Get out of the trailer.
I love Company Picnic.
I'm not saying that I don't like it. I'm not saying that I don't like it.
It's
when
okay.
they're back this, to back yeah, no, like that, good. I kind of group them together a little bit, and there's sort of a tone that carries through both of those episodes that celebrates how far the characters have come, which I'm not interested in. I just want to keep watching them struggle and learn lessons and things like that. But instead, it's kind of like, oh no, now we're like, you know, we all feel really good about ourselves and stuff like that. Does that make sense?
You know what? I have a tag on that. Okay. We've talked about this a little bit. I like Cafe Disco Shot as that. I really love the Company Picnic episode as well. I'm sorry I rolled my eyes at you. That's probably a very rude thing for me. not cool.
No, I think it's funny.
but I at the end of Company Picnic, right, there's this great moment. The volleyball team dynamic is really cool, where you get to see Phyllis sitting down, Ryan on the phone, Kevin trying to announce the game, and he gets hit with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, it's 6-6. Then he gets hit, and Angela says, now it's 7-6. Or is that too much accounting for you? Right. There's a moment where Jim and Dwight hug, and then Oscar comes up and he goes, settle down now, gentlemen. But I think it's really important that we do have these moments where they all work together, because like it's payoff, right?
Right.
Yeah. It's payoff for them coming together as a group. And I had not really noticed this before, but when Jim and Pam, I don't know if this is before or after Jim and Pam have to leave because Pam sprains her ankle, but there's a moment where four of the characters, I want to say it's like Meredith and Kevin, they're like sitting at a picnic table, and Dwight says, you know what happens if we forfeit? The other team wins.
Corporate.
And somebody says corporate deserves to get their ass kicked, right?
Yeah.
And when you think about everything that happened in this season, right? Holly getting moved away from Nashua, like all this, the Charles Minor thing, right? All these, the Casual Friday initiative, I guess, was a corporate thing. Right?
The weight loss initiative,
lecture circuit that they make Michael do, the business trip episode, right? At the end, it's like, corporate deserves to get their ass kicked. Like, that's like a really interesting thing that I took away from that episode. So,
we're the employees, man.
It was worth it to have them all together for the sake of telling corporate, like, you know, what do you know? Because they, at the end of season six, they're gone. You know? All those guys are gone.
Yeah.
Right? It's Joe Bennett and the finest printers and all-in-one machines created can make.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, guys, I know that there's so much more that we could say about this. Edwin and I could argue more about that last point, but I think we got to move on.
I think we do.
I have a quick one for season five that I want to just really quickly.
A quick one.
Going through some extras, right? I found some promos. There's some great promos for the Super Bowl on the DVDs. There's also a promo.
I think we've talked about that before, too. Yeah.
The promos.
Well, but these are different. These are like new character lines and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Like, have you seen this? There's one where Michael wears a cup and he challenges Dwight to hit him.
Oh, my God.
And Dwight kicks him in the shin. And then so Michael comes out with shin guards and he's like, hit me again. And Dwight punches him in the stomach. And it just keeps escalating like this until eventually Dwight hits Michael in the throat with an orange. That's the last thing that happens. But really quickly, so for the Beijing Olympics, there's this promo like to get ready for the new season of The Office. And it's Dwight. And he says, the decathlon is for wimps. I'm talking centathlon, 100 sports. And so he gives this big list of sports, and while he's listing them, the narrator's like, while Dwight is doing that, we'll be waiting for the new season of The Office. So I'm going to give you really quickly this list of Dwight's 100 events. Broad jump, side jump, front jump, back jump, animal mimicry, wall climb, cup stacking, coal digging, hide the hamster, boat repair, projectile spitting, Q-tipping, nasal projection, fugitive tracking, rabbit hunting, pain tolerance, die casting, knuckle chuck, Turkish luge, pizza making, hula hoop, battleship, bow hunting, voting, taekwondo, cabinet making, flapping, haircutting, murder ball, and murder checkers.
Murder checkers.
Animal mimicry.
Animal mimicry might be my favorite.
And as he is saying it, there
jump?
I like pain tolerance.
What is broad jump?
As he's saying them, there are these little pictograms. Like at the Olympic Village, like there's this tradition where it's like the little stick figures.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a little pictogram for everything that he does.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I'm trying to think. There's one for hide the hamster is like two hands around a little hamster face. Yeah. Like it's really funny, but
wow. That was a nice little quick conference room.
Yeah. I like that.
That was funny enough without even seeing it. I can't wait to actually watch it.
I know. Did a good job of reading
testament to your
really
list
fast.
Reading skills.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That should be one of the events.
What's next? What are we doing now?
Let's move on to a question that we got from one of our listeners.
Yes, this was from Sarah on Instagram. What up, Sarah? She's asking, I'm sure you've heard the first ep of The Office Ladies. She's loving it so far. I think we all have listened
we've
to Office
100%.
Ladies. Yep. So Sarah brought up something that we learned about in that episode that I thought was really enjoyed. It says, I loved how Jenna recalled an early conversation with Ricky Gervais about job performance in the UK versus the US.
Yes.
His thought was, it'd be frustrating to American audiences to see Michael be so bad at his job but not be fired. And then it's like, in the UK, you can be bad at your job and just keep it for a long
That's
time.
That's so funny.
Most of the conversations in my house about Michael Scott end with, he should definitely be fired for that. So I found that tidbit so insightful and helpful to understand him being so terrible and not getting fired because it's based in the show's origins in UK work culture.
That's a good one. That's a good hot take. Yeah, that was great. I there were a lot of things that I loved hearing about. I loved hearing about Ken Kwapis so much, who I guess directed the pilot, and his ideas, like, to just film them doing basic office work. And
Pam doing the whiteout?
Yeah, or, like, he's just giving them things and, like, just wanted them to just, like, be doing actual, like, little office work. Please, you know, please be passing out some papers, like, things like that. Trying to, like, give them those boring tasks and actually make them do it. Because in the first season, you do see so much of this B-roll of people just standing at the copier, doing whiting out, stuff like that. I loved hearing about that.
I think I loved all the little behind-the-scenes stuff. I think it was really interesting to listen to the first episode of Office Ladies because I was very curious about how they were going to, you know, fill the time or what kind of insights they would have. And so much of it was super interesting, stuff that maybe as fans we had heard about or like that had been rumors or something like that. But that like we knew that, you know, Jim and Pam or Jenna Fisher and John Krasinski read together, but we didn't know that they like paired them separately, you know,
and the
Angela audition for Pam. Like there's so much great stuff. And I'm really excited to hear what all of that is. I actually that thing that stood out to me the most from the episode is the exact same thing that Sarah mentioned.
Yeah.
I think one thing, I'm sure I've mentioned it on the show before, but like one recurring theme is that they have to kind of hammer home that Michael is actually good at his job or at least good at sales, right? And I think it's shown a lot of times. It's shown in this business trip episode that we talked about. It's shown during the Michael Scott Paper Company arc when he, you know, gets all those clients away, right? Every time.
And then gets the jobs back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like there's, that's true. There's the negotiation part of it as well. Like there's, he's got to sort of show that he's got some sort of ability.
A little bit of competence.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Right. That, and when they go to, when David Wallace brings him in, he's like, your branch is the most profitable. Like, what are you doing right? And granted, Michael can't tell him. He says, I don't believe you should do anything to anyone for any reason. And here's the thing, you know.
Ever.
But yeah, that this notion that he has to be shown to perform well, I think it makes it easier to root for him. It makes it easier to understand why the branch can continue to operate the way it does. You know?
Totally.
And it's just, it's interesting to have that, something that I noticed as a viewer, I think a lot of people have noticed, to have it sort of reinforced by something like, so before the show even was created, right? Before season one, when we don't see Michael be that successful in his job in season one, right? It doesn't come until the client in season two, right? When he gets that sale for Lackawanna County.
My
but,
blood.
Yeah.
So my love. Blood's red, just like yours. So love me.
So love me.
That's all I think about when I think about that. But yeah, that, like hearing them talk about, we're hearing Jenna Fisher saying, like, you know, they, Stephen Merchant, Ricky Gervais sat in on the table read for the pilot, and then afterwards we're like, you know, Jim and Pam, could you, let's all go out for dinner, and how excited and starstruck she was to be having lunch with Stephen Merchant and Ricky Gervais. Like, that would have been, I
had to smile just imagining that dinner.
Absolutely. And even like, I don't know, there was, obviously when Office Ladies was announced it was coming out, it, you know, and we'd been doing the show for, a while. Yeah. And then we were like, oh no. But it's like hearing it was a, like when I, before I hit play, I was like, oh, this is going to be so good. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
But it also was like, oh, there's totally, like we can only do so much. Like we can research, we can look, watch the show and talk about it.
And
but the amount that they just talk about, of just the behind the scenes, like it's just all candy. It's so good.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I just think it's, I can't wait for more. And just the hearing, like, or the fact that that wasn't David Koechner on the phone.
Right.
You know, just the little things, like the little tricks they did and how much, especially in season one, it's so fun to hear about because they're just making it up. Like they're like, let's try this. Let's see if this works. And it ends up being used for the whole show. And so I think diving into season one is super, super smart.
I mean, they're going episode by episode. So we have a lot. We have a long time to get through the whole show.
And
200 something episodes. If they come out every week, that's like 4 years.
And you got to think, that's a whole new office.
Yeah.
You got to think as the show gets more popular and goes on, it's like Steve Carell's going to sit in for an episode.
You can only hope.
Craig Daniels will sit in for an episode.
I hope so.
Maybe Ricky Gervais. Like, I think I think they're going to have
Alex
a lot
from
of
New York.
See how that graphic design career is going.
Cloris Leachman?
You know, Ronnie? When we first brought up this on the show, when we first announced, like, you know, when the news came out and we first were like, oh, yeah, you know, this is going to be an Office Ladies show, you made a joke that, like,
Ladies and Gentlemen.
Yeah, we could just be another show that just talks about the Office Ladies podcast. Yeah.
Office Ladies First. Where we recap
Office Ladies for men.
That is real. There's a show called The Other Office Ladies, and it's two women just talking about the Office Ladies podcast.
Wow.
Wow.
All right.
I haven't listened to it. I did just notice it. Interesting. I thought it was funny because I was like, that's Alex's idea that we thought was a bad idea. Oh, guys. Next week is Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Let's touch on this real quick.
Or at least, you know, at the time of this recording. Mm-hmm. So
we'll be doing a Halloween episode.
Release it.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to do a Halloween episode. So just as a little
precursor,
warm up to that, we're just going to talk about some Halloween costumes. We've been posting on Instagram and stuff. We've been posting photos of Halloween costumes that, like, some of you guys have sent us. Just the other day, we posted a whole story on Instagram of this kid who one of our listeners sent us pictures
of her
kid.
I think her name is Gina.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much for sending that.
Thank you so much.
It was amazing.
Baby Dwight.
Fantastic.
Michael, that was so great.
Yeah, yeah, the video of him saying Michael.
Toddler Dwight.
Yeah. So please send us more of that stuff. We love to post it. I mean, I don't know. That was just so much fun getting that. Did you guys have any ideas for Office Halloween costumes that you want to share?
I got one real quick. I've always thought it's always really fun to go to dress up way, like, older.
Yeah.
If you're a younger person, it's kind of fun to be old. So, A, you could dress up as Creed, which would be fun, but go as Creed all bloodied when he realizes it's Halloween.
Yeah.
Because then you get to dress up like someone old.
Right,
you get
right.
to be Creed, and you get to just be covered in a splatter of blood. It's not that hard of a costume.
That he didn't realize it's Halloween.
Yeah, it's kind of scary, but I don't think it's that hard to pull off. If you know someone who can do makeup, or you can do old person makeup.
Yeah.
That was my first thought. Yeah.
You could also do Creed in the seersucker suit with the straw hat when he gets picked up on the work bus.
Oh my God.
Go, I'm playing hooky today.
That's so good.
You could do a group costume.
Yeah.
It's different Creeds. Yeah.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Young
sure.
Creed with the black hair.
Mm-hmm. I saw a good one on Reddit.
The Apostles Creed.
On the Dunder Mifflin Reddit that was Kevin and the bowl of bowl of chili.
That's good.
That's good. Like, so one person just has like a kettle around them and then they kind of like.
Oh, one person is the chili.
One person is the chili.
It's meta.
Wow.
Yeah. So that one I saw was pretty cool. Yeah.
The trick to making the costume is you got to undercook the onions.
you got any, Edwin?
Oh, I have a handful. Oh, yeah.
Hit us.
Date Mike. Easy.
Yes.
Easy. Tangle hat with the set suit and the open shirt.
Yeah. Bring some cherries.
Corporate Ryan with the beard.
Yeah, I was thinking
you can grow
Corporate
the,
Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's my favorite branch doing?
Yeah, that's all you can do.
I saw a great meme that was Corporate Ryan. It's like vegans walking into restaurants like, how my favorite branch doing? Prison Mike. Another reason with the
course.
Bandana.
Yes, definitely.
If you go as Dwight, I think it's important that you get the color of mustard shirt right. They're in the Bluetooth episode, they're like, what color mustard is Dwight's shirt today?
And spicy brown.
And spicy brown, that's great.
Yeah, there you go.
I think you could do a fun one as Agent Michael Scarn and Samuel. Like, I think these go better if you get a group. You could have a golden face, perhaps, you know, Catherine Zeta-Jones. but you could just, you know, Dwight as the robot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh,
as Dwight as the Recyclops?
Oh, Dwight is Recyclops. That's a great one.
There's a lot
that's a good one.
You could do all 5-6 stages of Recyclops as a group.
Now costume.
That would be
amazing.
Truly incredible.
I thought
incredible.
He was killed by Politicorn. Politicorn wishes.
Wait, who is it that asked him about
Stanley.
Stanley?
Yeah.
The least likely person.
Stanley's following
along. I thought you were killed by Politicorn.
He knows all the lore.
Yeah. I have Daryl and the Boys in the Hood in the Warehouse.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
You could do Phyllis and Bob, but I also think you could have them where they both dress up as Santa.
That is pretty spectacular.
Oh, that's good. Our friend Ike went as Santa one year for Halloween.
Santa is such a good Halloween costume.
It was a Halloween party at our house, and he came over early to help us set up. And so we started getting trick-or-treaters at our house. And he started answering the door as Santa.
The kids were so confused.
They're just jaws dropped to the floor. And like, they were like, Santa? Like, Santa's giving us candy on Halloween? Like, they couldn't believe it. And Ike would give them candy and be like, oh, be nice to your parents.
Fellas, I'm so excited for Halloween. I can't wait to dive into Halloween next week.
We really recommend, if you're not already doing this, on Halloween day, Halloween night, whatever you want to do, sit down, watch all the Halloween episodes back to back. It's a great...
We should make a list.
It's a great way to spend 2 hours. Just put them all... You could do the same thing with Christmas. Mm-hmm. It's good office traditions
mm-hmm.
right there.
Mm-hmm. It's time for some trivia.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
Woo! All right, fellas. This week, I have prepared trivia.
Yeah.
Selected
an... Stop!
God damn
it. Let me just settle in here, okay?
One of my favorite traditions.
Today's trivia is all about weight loss part one.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
So I watched the episode and looked for little details.
Crap, I think I only watched part two.
And I gotta tell you, I do not expect you to get most of these. So let's see how you do.
Fine. Yeah. I only watched part two.
I got a lot of questions here. I'll move quickly.
Okay.
Chocolate fountain or cheese fountain?
Both. Or cheese fountain.
Cheese fountain. It's a cheese fountain in the opening. What is Stanley going to take back for his wife?
I know it. Dumplings.
Yep.
take these home to your wife, and Dwight sprays them with whatever it is. Yeah.
What does Dwight spray the food with?
Oh.
It's like insecticide.
Yeah, or some sort of green canister.
I had to pause it and look to see.
Computer, Zoom, enhance.
Enhance?
What is it? Wasp and hornet killer.
Okay. So insecticide.
All right, I'm not going to ask you what... I don't expect you to get how much the office weighs. But maybe give me a number that's
it's
in
around
the range.
2,236 pounds.
I was going to say 2,150.
2,150 is a little light. I think Edwin's just about right. Their first weigh-in is 2,210 pounds, and they get
that's
lighter.
That's pretty close.
Yeah. So,
take that, Sean.
Yeah.
We're getting these.
Pam, you weigh 226 pounds. Almost, Kevin. not almost, though, Holly.
Do you know how much she weighs?
Is it 126 pounds?
I think, yeah. one more bite of blank each.
If you know it,
eclair,
just say it.
Eclair.
Yeah. Don't wait for me.
Hold it in your mouth if you can't swallow.
What did Michael learn about Holly besides the fact that her butt refuses to quit?
It's something. It's. I don't know.
She broke her left leg twice in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
She's allergic to sesame seeds.
Mm-hmm.
She has read Lonesome Dove 3 times.
Okay.
Wow.
Where does
That's
Oscar?
Good, That's a good trivia.
Where does Oscar take his Bikram class?
Dixon City.
What?
Did I get it?
How do you know that?
That is really impressive.
I don't know.
That is crazy.
Did you just watch it?
I mean, I've watched this whole season to prep, but I haven't seen that one in a couple days.
Do they ever mention Dixon City ever again?
So in Take Your Daughter to Work Day, that's where Michael sends Ryan to get his guitar. At his mom's house in Dixon City.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's crazy. Okay. How long is Pam's design program and where does she attend?
Pratt.
And 12
she goes
weeks?
To Pratt for, yeah, 12
yeah,
weeks
3 months,
in New York City.
I just gave you one easy one, all right?
Oh, thanks, buddy.
He
just got Dixon City, dude. You're screwed.
Where does Andy want to have his dream wedding? Every little boy fantasizes about his fairy tale wedding.
Right, yeah.
Right. Is it a...
Disney something village, right?
Nope.
No, it's not Martha's Vineyard. It's like...
I don't know.
Where is it?
The Breakers in Newport, Rhode Island.
A gorgeous
mansion overlooking the Atlantic.
The Breakers.
It's where his parents decided not to get divorced.
That's right. I knew it was somewhere in the like East Coast spot like that.
What is the last word of Michael's goodbye poem to Pam?
Seagulls.
It's really long. The last word is seagulls. What are Michael and Holly's rap names?
Oh.
DJ Michael Scott and DJ Holly Flax.
MC Mike Scott and DJ Jazzy Flax.
Jazzy Flax. Mm.
Who is the interim receptionist?
Ronnie.
Rice or Ronnie.
What is the name of the wrong class that Pam accidentally goes to?
Oh, it's something about calligraphy. No, typography in the modern
new media.
In new media.
Expressive typography in new media.
Nice.
And here's a bonus. What did she set her alarm clock to, the joke she makes?
Oh.
She's sorry she's late. She accidentally sent
one
her
of
alarm
like
clock to...
Oh, no. It's like something sans serif.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Zap Chancery.
Zap Chancery.
I don't get the joke.
Yeah, you work in this, this stuff.
Yeah. Do you know her name?
No.
The professor?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Professor
Angela.
Professor Monahan.
Okay. Monahan.
What is Holly's actual first name?
Hollis or Holland.
It's Hollis, yeah.
Holly's, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's on her name plaque on her desk. I think that's where you see
it. There's a moment where she calls her parents and they call her like Hollis or something.
Oh, okay.
It's later in the show. But
Rondé Hollis Flax.
Flaxerson.
Holly says at one point, hey, Oscar, who's that woman in Michael's office with the blank
feet?
Because he's giving her a foot massage at the time.
That's right.
All right. What are the four totally different wedding venues that Andy books because Angela has such particular, impossible to perceive taste?
One's a hot air balloon.
Hot air balloons over Napa Valley.
One is the Disney Celebration Village.
World famous Walt Disney Epcot Center.
Okay, yeah.
One is the tent is later. Yeah. We just thought, I got him.
Mm-hmm. Rudy Giuliani's dentist. Yeah.
Third wedding.
Yeah.
I got him.
Two more.
Is there a. There's there one on a boat? Just tell us.
I'll give you scuba diving wedding in the Bahamas.
Okay.
Which I cannot imagine Angela ever saying yes to that.
No.
And then the last is the Wilkes Bar Marriott Ballroom C.
Okay.
Cake.
Non-refundable deposits at all four.
Yeah.
Cake. Who suggested cake?
Phyllis.
Yep. What does Creed think that the number one cause of death in America is?
Fright, being scared to death.
Yeah.
How many pounds does Jim agree to lose?
65. Me five.
And then how much does Michael ask everyone else to lose?
Everyone loses 5 pounds plus Jim 65.
Yeah. What is Angela's wedding venue criteria?
Oh, man. It's like a rustic farm with like a old barn with like slats where you can see the stars coming through.
Yeah.
That is... She does say that, but not in this episode. She gives him criteria in this episode, which is a 1,000-year-old church in the continental United States, which is impossible. There has to be a...
I never thought about that.
Really funny, yeah.
There has to be a rainbow and 24-hour veterinarian care. What is being served at the upstairs birthday party?
Fruit.
And bottles of water.
Okay.
Stanley doesn't like cake anymore. Now all he likes is
baklava.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, Dwight mentions two people who aren't so handsome from Scranton.
Yeah, that guy who killed his teacher or something, or is
that guy who murdered his mother?
Also Kevin.
Yeah.
All right, guys, that's all I have for you for trivia. You actually did amazingly. Amazingly well. Edwin did, not Alex.
No, that's to be expected. But man, the Dixon City poll is that's an all-timer. That one was crazy.
I don't know, man.
Folks,
I want to send it to that bad reviewer and be like, did you hear this?
Folks, like I said, next week we're going to be talking about Halloween. Please send us your questions. Send us your favorite Halloween moments. Send us pictures of you in costume. We have an email address, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. We're on Facebook and Instagram, Michael Scott Podcast Company. We're on Twitter, @MichaelScottPod. We have a website where you can find all those ways to get in touch with us, MichaelScottPod.com. And we have the phone number, which you can call us, leave us a voicemail. We'd love to play them on the show, 503-694-9314. A very special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who runs our social media and designs all our artwork, and to Open Signal, a community media center in Portland where we record our show.
Nice, dude.
Thanks.
It's great. I want to leave you guys with one final thought.
Please.
Just something to keep in mind. If these walls could talk, they would say, "This is a magical place. You are safe here. We have talking walls. We are not going to eat you."
Thanks so much for listening.
Give me this oven.
Yes, sir.
Bring it in. Morning cheer.
U-G-L-Y. You ain't got no alibi. You ugly.
Ho, ho.
You ugly. You mama say you ugly. Hey, go Michael Scott Paper Company.
I'm here. I'm part of this now.